Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson here with you on a Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Joe, how you doing, my friend?
I just coughed. Don't freak out.
Yeah. Stay away from me. You stay. There's a 6 to 8 foot space that you must stay away from me all day.
I think we're only like 3 feet apart from each other.
Violation of the rules. Munson is very much participating in the rules. There's a pane of glass separating him from me at the moment.
Well, he's lucky playing by the rules. Almost went bubble boy mode like Jake Gyllenhaal in that movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
We'll all look like that soon enough.
Yeah, we might. It'd be kind of fun. I'm not going to lie, though.
I've always wanted a hazmat suit. Maybe I could find one.
Like a Ghostbuster suit.
Like a Ghostbuster hazmat suit.
Yeah, no. I've kind of always wanted to wear one, too. We joke, but man, there's stuff going on with coronavirus.
Yeah, there is. And the NHL, NBA, MLS, and MLB came out with a joint statement yesterday just talking about coronavirus and basically shutting down access in the locker room to media. And obviously, Joe, you and I are part of the media. We go to these locker rooms and these post-game locker rooms after Preds games, and if we had an NBA team, we would go after NBA games, MLS games, all these different things. At the end of the day, is it the world's biggest deal that we're not in the locker room? Probably not. But it is one of those interesting things that I think is a sign of the times of this coronavirus discussion is evolving on pretty much a daily basis. I know Williamson County Schools this morning, it was announced just a few minutes ago, are closed.
We got the call. We got the call around, well, actually, I didn't. My wife did it. Like, I don't know why my phone didn't ring, but 4:45.
They trust your wife much more to relay this information.
Usually, it's like auto calls to everyone's phone. I'm still waiting on mine. But anyway, yeah. So the kids, I guess they'll wake up at whatever time and be like, oh, wow, we didn't go to school today. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. And look, obviously, public safety is the driving force behind all of this. It still is interesting, and I think the next step of this discussion, you know, closing the locker rooms to the media is one thing. I think they're going to implement a 6 to 8 foot rule is what they're going to try to live by in terms of the guidelines of, you know, these post game press conferences, the minimum distance that media and players have from one another. The next part of this discussion is going to be, okay, like at what point do we start having the discussion of fans not being in the arena? Because that's what's happening in Italy right now. I mean, they're basically playing in front of empty stadiums.
Well,
at
actually,
this point.
Italy's gone past
and
that.
And they've gone past that now.
They
they're
now,
not even playing.
There are no sports there, until April 3rd. Yeah. Basically, the whole country of Italy is on lockdown right now, essentially. So the question is, really, will we get to that here? It has been a major outbreak there. Will we get to the point here where it's to that? We're not close to that yet. We are to the point now where Indian Wells canceled one of the biggest non-major tennis tournaments on the circuit out in California. Yeah. Now, that's also a community with a lot of elderly people. California is one of the heaviest hit, the West Coast, you know, Washington, those are the heaviest hit areas of the country right now. So that's a little different. I mean, we've got BBN coming in here, man. We got Vanderbilt just canceled classes, in-person classes, what, till the end of the month. Is that right? Till the end of this month. And we've got BBN, Big Blue Nation, about to descend on this town as they do every year when the SEC tournament is here. And I'm keeping an open mind today on things we may hear. I would still suspect that the show will go on, and maybe there'll be signs like enter at your own risk type signs, which there are some of those at sporting events now. But I don't know. I think that's the possibility of the NCAA tournament being played in front of empty arenas, I think, is very real right now.
I think so, too. And, you know, they asked LeBron James about this over the weekend in terms of, you know, potentially shutting down NBA arenas to fans, and his response was, I mean, if that happens, like, I'm not going to play. Like, I play for the fans. And that could have just been him saying that at the time. But
I'd like to jump on him for a minute with that.
Let's do that.
Because I remember the Cavs coming to Memphis a couple years ago, and it was a load management day, which was just, you know, announced that day. And a lot, I mean, actually, Jeff Calkins wrote a great column. All these people were there, bought tickets only because of him. Like, that's why they were there. And it was like, nah, I'm going to do load management. And,
you come
which
there
is
once
a total
a year.
Lack of understanding of, like, what, I mean, again, like, you know, load management, well, I think it's idiotic. Then just have 70 games or have 60 games.
Yeah, if you
whatever.
Can't play in all 82, then stop.
But, you know, think about what you're doing to fans who, when in the last second you just decide you don't want to play or you're not going to play in a game. And all those fans were very rightfully upset and had really lost a lot of money they spent just to see him. So it's funny to hear him say now that he won't play if the fans aren't there.
Yes. But, you know, sometimes LeBron James, that's just what he does. He's a prisoner of the moment. And look, I love LeBron James. He's one of my favorite basketball players of all time. But he does say some things every now and then where you're just like, dude, sometimes you're so far out of touch with reality that it's just not even funny. And this is one of those times.
Yeah. Yes. Like the China stuff.
Yes. Like,
we
come
don't
on,
get
man.
Into it.
So, going to be interesting to monitor that because obviously with the Preds playoff push they have coming up right now, they've got some home games, some important home games coming up. And I think the discussion, we're not there yet, but the discussion may come in the next week or two of, Are fans going to be allowed inside Bridgestone Arena for these games? Yeah. I mean, I didn't think we'd get there about a week or two ago, and the more that we've seen things unfold, and the more this virus continues to dominate the conversation around our country, I think the more of a realistic possibility it's becoming by the day. As far as like our jobs in the media, like not being in the post-game locker room, like, Is it annoying? Yeah, but I get it. Like, it's not really that big of a deal to me. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I think it's silly. I mean, when we're talking about these guys spitting and sweating on each other and then, you know, you have to put them in a bubble to talk about it afterward, but I'm not like upset. It's a short-term thing to me. Now, yeah. I have heard from people like, yeah, but just watch because now they'll try to make this the norm. I don't think that's true. I think the NFL, it's strange because it's the most popular sport, but they, I think, get it as well as any league about the importance of access and allowing people into the locker room to talk to people and what that does in terms of coverage. I think the NHL can actually use some work anyway on that.
No question.
But and MLS so far looks a little bit more like the NHL. It'll return to normal, I believe, whatever normal is for these leagues, whenever, you know, this is contained and life goes back to normal. So to me, it's not the biggest deal.
Can somebody explain, like, the toilet paper thing to me? Like, everybody's going up and buying up all the toilet paper in all the stores now. And I, like, to me, if the world is ending and, like, you're afraid of being quarantined in your house, like, why are you buying, like, the entire store's worth of toilet paper? Isn't there other things you should probably prioritize at that point?
I didn't know about that.
Oh, it's a thing. Like, people are just stocking up on toilet paper, man.
It reminds me of the Bud Light commercial. You remember the Bud Light commercial? Where the guy had, like, $5, and so he had, like, a six-pack of Bud Light and a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
But he didn't have enough for also he made sure to get the paper receipt on his way out. Yes. Anyway.
Now people are doing it with toilet paper. Yeah, they're prioritizing.
I don't know, man. I've heard, you know, like surgical masks. I think my mom told me, like, in California, they're charging like $100 for hand sanitizer and stuff like that, you know. I get that people are, you know, looking for that. But toilet paper, yeah, I don't know. I mean, other than, like, if you just think you're going to be locked inside for a month and you just need to stock up on everything, well, why specifically that?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, there's a craze going on now of toilet paper and bottled water.
Yeah, I mean, bottled water is another thing where, like, okay, we may be locked down. The water supply may get contaminated.
But the water system should still work, right? Like, I mean, we live in America. Like, I don't think the water's just going to totally shut down. Do you think?
No, but could it be infected? Do people think it could be infected?
I don't know.
I'm deferring to medical people on this. You know, I know something happened at Vanderbilt with a parent and, you know, some contact with people. And I know with Williamson County Schools, which my kids go to, it was the same thing. It was like a parent was infected and had contact with some people. We've heard stories. There was a story out of Missouri. A dad was quarantined.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'm going to go to my father-daughter dance instead. So now that whole community is up in arms. So if this keeps going like this, where they're just things keep popping up and there's not this feeling of containment, then I think some things will continue down this road in the sports world. And it may be a very, very bizarre post-apocalyptic feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got, like you said, the Preds will come back home next week, SEC tournament this week, the NCAA tournament, Major League Baseball is about to start. I mean, a lot of stuff happened. NBA, I mean, it's going to be interesting. It is nothing like Italy here yet, but certainly every day we're getting new stuff.
Yeah, and I've already seen, like, the Predators in the locker room last week, and they weren't, like, high-fiving each other. Like, they were kind of instructed last week to reduce the contact in all ways possible. So I saw Nick Bonino, for instance, like, you know, he went to give somebody a high five and he used like his foot. They just like kicked each other in the feet. Like it was just one of the, like with shoes on. Like it's just one of those things where you're just like, okay, whatever.
But apparently, like, it's okay to make contact with Corey Perry, though. Make all contact possible still with Corey Perry.
Well,
don't high five each other.
You got to send that message.
Yeah. You're willing to risk virus transfer to
make sure Corey
beat
Perry
the crap out of Corey Perry.
Yeah. I mean, I think most Predators fans would agree with that statement. And for based on what I've seen on Twitter, they love it.
Well, the fans are fine with it. You know, yeah, you guys go do that. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, it's just weird. Like, seriously, if you are in these, whatever, basketball, hockey, any of these sports where there's a lot of contact and there's spitting, sweating, you know, shoes on the floor that have been in public restrooms, all this stuff, and then don't high five.
Yeah.
I get, like, I guess any sort of, you know, reduction of contact is safe. Why not? But it also seems kind of silly.
And it is funny to me that, like, the media is being banned from the post-game locker room, but at the moment, like, we still have no problem with 18,000 people being around each other in the game. Like, that's okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right. So there's the next. That's the next shoe, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're needing toilet paper, make sure you go stock up because it could all be gone soon. That's what I've learned from this past couple of days on social media, that everybody's getting the toilet paper. So
I got to think back. Like, are we stocked up? I don't know. I may need to jump up onto the store during a break if you guys are okay with that.
Yeah, we can do that. No question about it. When we come back, we will get to what we were going to originally get to in this first segment. It's a big game tonight for the Predators against the Montreal Canadiens. How do we feel about the Predators heading into this game? This is a game on paper they should win, but we know how that's gone this year. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's a big one tonight for the Nashville Predators. They're all big as we come down the stretch here. 14 games left in the regular season. They'll be on the road tonight against the Montreal Canadiens, Shea Weber, and the Montreal Canadiens. And Joe, it's an interesting game because we've heard this song and dance all season long. This is a game that on paper the Predators should probably win because I think we would all believe they have more talent than Montreal does. But we've played this game with the Predators this year. We know how that can end. Sometimes these games are the ones that are the most dangerous for the Predators. Two back-to-back really good performances, especially defensively and in goal by UC Saros against the Stars. You would expect that he'll be the guy to go tonight in Montreal as well. Number one, I'm interested to see, can they replicate those defensive performances that they've had in the last two games, and can they add some offense to it? Because even with everything that we think they've done well in the last two games against Dallas, they've still only scored three goals in those games, and all three of them came on the power play. So 5-on-5
Can they start to generate more offensively? Because obviously you're going to have to do that at some point. You're obviously not going to shut out teams every game. That's what I'm looking for tonight. Can they generate a little bit more pressure 5-on-5?
Yeah, again, like Stars fans would be like, oh, you guys are excited about your defense and goaltending? We can't score. We stink.
Yes.
Don't get excited about yourself. We stink.
I do have a friend in Dallas, and it's amazing. Like, they think the sky is falling there.
Oh, yeah.
After this week. I mean, they think they're done.
Well, and the thing is, like, if you have a struggling team, I still think it's the worst thing is if you have a struggling team that can't score. Like, you know, it's almost like the Titans early in their season. Like, that was just misery. Like, there's no hope for this team. They have a good defense. Who cares? You're wasting the defense. Like, if you're, you know, the Preds early this season were at times losing games that were like shootouts, fire wagon hockey, but it was like, well, you know, they got the power play fixed and they got offensive, you know, it'll be fine. You know, when you aren't scoring goals, you know, that feels worse. Now, if you have to win every game 1-0 and 2-0, you'll take that. But yeah, I think it's not sustainable probably to expect UC Saros to just keep shutting people out. So it is the same topic with some of these guys who you want to see get going. I also think when you get three power play goals like that from key players, that's also a nice sign.
It is. Now you need to have those key players continue to produce 5-on-5 yep. as well. But defensively, they've done a good job. I mean, that's you look at some of the, you know, traditional stats in terms of, you know, the goals they've given up in the past 10 games. That Edmonton game obviously sticks out. I mean, it's not been perfect defensively, but I think everybody feels like since John Hines has taken over, they've improved in that area. Now, I also, you look at the numbers, I think, and I was on Preds Insiders yesterday with Ryan Porth, I think their goals per game has gone from somewhere in the threes to somewhere in like 2.4 or something like that under Hines. So that's gone pretty significantly down, but so has the goals against as well. And some of that is just as simple as the goaltending, particularly from UC Saros, has been better. But I do think there's more room for this team to be productive offensively. That's, I mean, look, that's what we talked about coming into the season. That's why you made the switch from PK Subban to bringing in Matt Duchene. You wanted to be more offensive. And for the first month or two of this year, they were. I mean, they were lighting it up. I think for the first 3 weeks, they were the highest scoring team in the league. So you don't really have to get there. Like, you don't have to be the highest scoring team in the league. But you need to spend a little bit more time in the offensive zone and be a little bit more dangerous once you get there. And that's not just the top guys that I'm talking about. Like, that's everyone. I think everyone can do a better job, and I'll include Yossi and Ellis in that discussion as well in terms of establishing possession, because there's been a whole lot of just kind of getting into the zone. Maybe you get a look or two, and then it's going back the other way. And that can wear you down after a while. Maybe that changes or starts to change on this road trip.
Yeah, and look, before they played Dallas, those two games, we talked about how good Dallas has been this year defensively. Goaltending has been excellent, and they totally stifled the Preds in a playoff series last year. So, like, it wasn't – I mean, I think we thought going into those two games, the Preds would probably have to win games like they did. They would have to be those kinds of games. So I was really impressed that given – what they knew about Dallas and the matchup, that they played really solid hockey for two full games. Like, if you can go the rest of this year and not have another 8-3, 7-1, just disaster night, that right there to me would be progress.
Yeah.
Because it's like every few games, like, just the wheels fall off. I mean, they've had more ugly blowout losses by far. That's why they're like their goal differentials, you know, -4 right now, even though, you know, I mean, they're 8 games above 500,
right.
But that's what happens when you get just trashed several times. So wipe those away from your game. That would be a help. This, I really thought this is like playoff kind of hockey that they played and won both games against Dallas. Now, can you get somebody else going, like you said, 5-on-5, some of these key players, can you get some production?
Because I've fallen into this trap a few times this year in terms of
well, they've won two or three games in a row. Maybe this is when they're starting to break out of everything and they're building on this.
Usually one of those comes along.
And we have just gotten burned time and time again. So, look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and act like I have a ton of confidence that they're just going to build on everything they've done this past week and take that forward into this week. Do I think they should win this game tonight against Montreal? Yeah, I do. I think when you look at their schedule, especially when you've got a ton of teams coming up, you're playing Winnipeg, you're playing Minnesota a couple times, you're playing Arizona down the stretch as well. You still have a couple against Colorado. Like, the schedule is not going to be easy for the Predators as they close out the regular season here. You got to win these games against teams that are pretty much out of playoff contention. I mean, Montreal is not technically dead in the race in the Eastern Conference yet, but they're on life support. I mean, they're pretty much out of it. It would take basically a miracle at this point for them to get in.
Yeah,
you got to beat teams like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, basically, I mean, the Islanders and Canes are at 79 on the other side, so they are essentially 8 points out of, you know, the last playoff spot with, and they've played 70, so they only have 12 to go. So
they got to win almost all.
They're essentially toast right now. Again, like, those are the teams that sometimes you worry about. Now, sometimes a team like that, especially if they just recently kind of came to that realization, you know, you may not get the best effort from them. But for whatever reason, teams that are struggling or just not as good have been a problem for the Preds.
They have. So we'll see if they can handle that tonight. And we'll see if UC Saros can continue his hot streak. Back-to-back shutouts for him. Predators, it was an interesting game last night that affected the standings. Winnipeg beats Arizona in regulation, which leaves Arizona at 74 points with 70 games played. Moves Winnipeg up to the first wild card spot at 78 points. Minnesota with 77 in the second wild card spot. So the Predators 1 point behind the Wild heading into tonight's game in Montreal. The Wild do not play. Or actually, hold on, let me look. The Wild do not play tonight. So the Predators will even it up in terms of games played with the Wild tonight.
So they would jump
them.
They would jump them with 2 points. They would pull even with the Jets and still have a game in hand on the Jets with a win tonight. So,
and Vancouver plays at home against the New York Islanders tonight. So you need, if you're a Predators fan, your good friend Barry Trotz to do his best to beat the Vancouver Canucks in regulation.
We've got Barry Trotz to not have his team play like they did here a couple weeks ago.
Yes, that would not be very beneficial. We've gotten to the point, Joe, where we're watching scoreboards all the time. Like, we're just watching random. Like, I found myself deeply invested in the Blackhawks-Blues game the other night for some reason, and I couldn't quite figure out why, other than the fact they had the first all-women hockey broadcast, I think, in American history, which was awesome. That was really cool.
That is very cool.
The other night, like, the TV truck was all women. The crew was all women. It was great. So that part was really fun. But it's just gotten to the point now where the standings change so much on a nightly basis that, you know, Ryan Ellis said it best after the Stars game the other day. At this point, you just got to control what you can control. If the Predators win their fair share of games down the stretch here, they're going to be in. It's up to them to go ahead and do that. And in order for that to continue to be the case, you got to win these games like tonight against Montreal. And look, I think they're going to get a good effort from Montreal tonight. Shea Weber's the captain. I mean, they're not going to roll over and quit, but you're better than this team. You need to go win. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to me.
Yep, and you'll see them again, too.
You will.
By then, they'll probably be, you know, officially out of it. Tonight, they have some life, but if they're being honest with themselves, they're pretty much toast.
No question about it. When we come back, Floyd Reese, former Titans general manager and host of Jared and the GM, will join us. We'll get into some CBA stuff with him. Some news coming out on that front over the course of the last day or two. That's coming up next. You're listening to Morning Drive here with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. Preds fans, starting tomorrow at 7:45 a.m., you can bid on a Smashville VIP package with proceeds benefiting Tornado Relief and the Preds Foundation. The package includes 2 tickets to Preds and Threads on March 17th, with parking in the 6th Avenue Garage, 2 tickets to VIP After Party and a team autographed jersey, 2 lower-level tickets to a Preds game on March 21st against the Flyers, and dinner for two with Pete Weber and Hal Gill before the game on March the 21st. 2 Nashville Strong t-shirts will be included as well. We'll have more details tomorrow here on Morning Drive. We'll be right back with Floyd Reese here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And it's one of our favorite times of the week. We get to bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans general manager, host of Jared and the GMs here in the afternoon on 102.5 The Game, and perhaps Nashville's most handsome man. Floyd, how are you?
Thank you. Yes, I'm doing great.
Good, good, Floyd. It's glad that you're doing well. Glad that you could come back on with us here this week. And Floyd, the CBA dominating the news right now in the NFL. Taylor Lewan went on the Rich Eisen show yesterday and said basically that he expects it to pass, although he voted no. When you look at the proposal given by the league and the owners to the players of this CBA, what stands out to you and what are kind of your thoughts on the process that's unfolding in the NFL right now?
You know, I think the most interesting thing is that the proposal the owners gave didn't deal near as much with the big money guys as it did with the populace. You know, it dealt with 60 or 70% of the league, which are largely minimum salary guys. And I think because of that, it's going to have a legitimate chance to pass because these guys, you know, the guys that are doing most of the voting, if in fact they vote, are these minimum salary guys. And they're looking at it and they're saying, hey, look at this big bump I get. You know, I'm doing okay. I think also it helps some of the retired guys. You know, it's increasing their medical plans or pensions or retirement or whatever it is. Rather, it seems like all the other deals, they're always dealing with the top numbers, the big numbers. And that's, you know, not the biggest part of the league. This one goes the other way, deals with the most people across the board. And so, therefore, I think it's got a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I guess kind of clever if you think about it, right? If you can appeal to a larger number of guys, it's okay if your stars are unhappy, right? Because they're going to get outvoted.
I mean, that's the way, you know, all these campaigns we're seeing now, you know, talking about running for a political office, they're looking for the numbers. You know, where are all the people? And that's who they're trying to, you know, influence. And I think the owners, at least from outsider looking in, I haven't read the entire 458 pages or whatever it is.
You're on like 433, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm closing in. I'm almost a one. I think they were pretty smart in the way they dealt with this.
So, Floyd, the deadline has been pushed back. So apparently some players have asked if they could change their vote, which is interesting. I don't know what that means. I guess it could mean either way. But some players have asked if they could change their vote, and the NFL player reps voted that down. So if you voted, your vote is locked in. But the deadline to vote has been extended to 11:59 p.m. Saturday. Meanwhile, you've got the franchise tag and transition tag deadlines right now, 4 p.m. Thursday, which that could change. But from the Titans' perspective, Floyd, what do you think would be the best use of one or both of those? And how does this affect that? The fact that, you know, you're looking at the CBA, which if it's passed, then you got to rescind one of them if you use both of them.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem, I think. You know, if in fact they were planning, and I look at it, you know, if I was sitting back in that chair, I think you would have looked at it and said, okay, you know, there's no way they're going to come to a new CBA a year early. And they'll come to it maybe during the season or during, you know, the off season or something, but not so early. And I think so, you know, you went along and said, okay, I've got these two tags and this is what I'm going to do with them. Well, now all of a sudden this thing jumps up there and those two tags that you wanted to use, you know, very likely could just be one. And you know, the plans that you've made for the last 6 months could be severely hindered. So I think that's the real problem J-Rob and the guys are going through now. You know, do you in fact offer a guy the tag and then, you know, 2 days later have to turn around and withdraw it? And then, like I've said before, the part that will really be interesting is if, in fact, you say, okay, here are the two tags. These are the guys I'm going to use on. And they sign them. You know, now they sign those tenders and send them back to you. Now what? Is the league going to void those contracts or void them both or void one? Or, you know, how is that all going to work? And, I mean, I just see I see the potential for a number of lawsuits there if they're not careful.
Floyd Reese, host of Jared and the GM and former Titans general manager, on the line with us. And, Floyd, kind of further complicating this discussion is, you know, we've talked all offseason long about the need to go get a pass rusher, whether it's free agency or the draft. And we've talked about the big four free agents and how, you know, outside of Tannehill and Derrick Henry, keeping Jack Conklin should be a priority for this team. Well, the more and more time that goes by, it seems like it's going to be really difficult to do that and to keep Jack Conklin without using one of these tags. Let's say the Titans lose Jack Conklin in free agency. How much of a priority does addressing the right tackle position become at that point for John Robinson? Does it move ahead of going out and getting a pass rusher at that point?
You know, it certainly becomes an issue because right now, if you were to throw a team out there and say, okay, line up, you would have guys line up at the, you know, pass rushing positions, outside linebackers. If you said, okay, on offense line up, you would only line up 10 because your right tackle is gone. And so, you know, all of a sudden you're saying, okay, I would like to improve these spots, but I have to have a right tackle. Rules say you got to play with 11. So, you know, that all of a sudden becomes a key issue. And then, you know, to further, I think, create a problem, and I'm not sure how much of a problem it is with the Titans, but an outsider looking in, you're saying, okay, now what if, you know, what if a Tom Brady were to be here and he doesn't have that mobility? He's not able to escape the rush. Do you stick a rookie right tackle there? Do you stick somebody that, you know, maybe even isn't a first or second round pick there and say, okay, you protect, you know, the greatest quarterback to ever play? Well, I mean, therein lies some further concerns. And so it becomes an issue. I have always been, you know, on the side of the offensive line simply because I think it's so important to the overall team performance. All positions are, but the offensive line, you know, literally on every snap, they're going to have a dramatic effect on the outcome of that snap. And you know, to go into a season after the season they've had with a, you know, a second-year right guard and a rookie right tackle, I think, you know, you see some potential problems there.
Yeah, it's hard to find good offense. It seems to be harder and harder to find good offensive linemen.
Well, it's, you know, it's like everything else. I think the pass rushers are getting so much better. The blitz concepts are getting so much better. The pass protection, you know, combinations and schemes have to get so much more difficult because they're always adapting to, you know, what if they bring four over here? What if they bring an extra guy, five? What are we going to do now? And because of that, all of these protection schemes and things get that much more important.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Tom Brady, Floyd, and I know it's probably been frustrating for you because it's hard to get Jared to talk much about Tom Brady.
Yeah, good point.
So,
yeah.
I just want to ask you, just tell me, Floyd, what is going to happen here?
Yeah, I wish I knew. I you know, have believed from the start and really haven't changed, you know, that Tom will end up back in New England. I think for a couple of reasons. I think, you know, first of all, I can't think of a real good reason for him to leave. You know, you won six Super Bowls here. You've got the best coach that's ever coached. You've got a place that you've loved and lived for 20 years. You know, what would be the allure for you to just pack up and move your family really any place else? You know, you're saying, yeah, we're going to move. How long are we going to live there? Oh, I don't know. We'll probably rent because we're only going to be there for a year, maybe two. And then, you know, our career is going to be over. So I just that concerns me. I think him going to a place where he can run what he knows so well, you know, is going to take adaptations by the offense wherever he ends up. Is the protection scheme going to be the same? Because right now He is literally a coach on the field in that offense. He knows everything about it. He knows all the adjustments. He knows everything he has to do to make a play right on every snap. Well, now all of a sudden in year 20, you're going to say, all right, we're just going to eliminate that, and we're going to, you know, do all this brand new stuff. I'm not sure that would help him, and I'm not sure it'd be really good for the team.
Former Titans general manager Floyd Reese has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Floyd, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, Floyd. Joe, when we come back, A.J. Brown, Titans wide receiver, had interesting comments regarding the Tannehill and Brady discussion that we've had for the past several weeks. We'll play those for you next, and we'll react to those. That's coming up next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown on Sirius XM talking about Ryan Tannehill and Tom Brady. Made sure to point out that he loves Ryan Tannehill. He wants Ryan Tannehill back. But it would also be awesome to play with Tom Brady, which I think everybody, especially a receiver the age of A.J. Brown that has seen Tom Brady mature and grow up, and that's who he watched play for his entire life growing up watching NFL football. Of course you would say that. I think A.J. Brown probably answered that about as well as you could have hoped for. I'm with him, though. I wish they'd hurry up, too. I wish they'd hurry up to make a decision as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think, you know, the second half of that answer is going to get some attention. And actually, we just talked to Floyd. I mean, I heard Jared freaking out about it yesterday, actually. But, you know, basically, like, some guys are being more careful. Like, Derrick Henry is pretty adamant, like,
yeah,
what's wrong with Tannehill?
Right.
Kevin Byard was – Albert Breer quoted him basically saying, like, but being very careful. A very veteran answer for Kevin Byard when I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, basically very carefully saying, like everybody back from last year. You know, A.J. Brown is honest there, like, hey, who wouldn't want to play with Brady? But he did initially say he'd like Tannehill back.
It's important to get the entire quote in there.
Yeah, I mean – but, you know, he said some glowing things about Brady, so you know, you can run with that if you want. I just think it was him being honest, and I think most people would say the same thing. I think most people on this team, if they're given truth serum, would probably say, Tannehill played really well, and it seems to make sense to go with him. But, man, Brady, wow.
Yeah.
What a thought, you know. But I think if you had, like, we're talking about the CBA voting – like, let's say, you know, the Titans' full roster got to vote on this move. What would be the result of a Titans vote on Brady or Tannehill?
That's an interesting question because, I mean, look, obviously in public, they're all going to say, look, we love Ryan Tannehill. He's our guy. But this is Tom Brady that we're talking about. There's an intrigue that's going to be there. I still think Tannehill might win that vote just because the guys have been around him. They know Ryan Tannehill. By all accounts, they seem to really like Ryan Tannehill, so I would probably give him the edge. But I'll put it to you this way. If, you know, in the next few weeks we discover that Tom Brady is going to be the quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, do you think there's going to be a whole lot of guys on that roster that are upset about it? I don't.
Eventually, no. But I think it would be a landslide if they voted. A landslide for Tannehill.
See, I don't know.
Listen, these guys.
Tom Brady, though. Like, there's
42.
They're not.
They know this.
There's a mystique. There is a mystique about Tom Brady.
There's not a mystique if you've played him two straight years and kicked his butt like they have. They kicked his butt the last 2 years.
They did.
So they've seen
They've also seen him win 6 Super Bowls.
I understand that. But Joe Namath won a Super Bowl in 1969. I don't want him anywhere near my football field.
But Joe Namath is not still playing.
I know, but Tom Brady is not the same Tom Brady. They've seen him 2 straight years, and they kicked his butt.
I'm just telling you this. I agree. I think Tannehill would win that vote. But if Tom Brady ends up being the quarterback of this team, there might be a guy that's upset about it for about 2 days.
Yeah.
But then that's going to be it. And they're going to be like, oh, my God, we have Tom Brady as our quarterback. And that's how it's going to go. I guarantee
it. No, I agree with that. If this thing that's totally out of their control happens, the alternative of, crap, we lost Tannehill, but Brady's the consolation, sure, yeah, you're going to get excited about it. And if you're someone in that locker room who cares, and some of them do, about attention, well, here you go. You're about to have the whole NFL looking at you every week like you're the biggest thing in the league.
Yeah.
So,
but we
yes.
probably had the same conversation with Mariota when he got benched and Tannehill. Maybe that locker room was sort of split. Some guys sticking with Mariota because that was always their guy.
Yeah.
And then Tannehill eventually gained their respect and got in the locker
room. I don't think it took very long for that to happen, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think it was like a week, and they were like, oh, this guy can actually throw a forward pass down the field.
So maybe it takes time, obviously. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, right. No, that's a good point. I mean, actually, it's funny because A.J. Brown is the, you know, the guy who talked about this thing. You know, A.J. Brown in that locker room in Denver. And I actually, I think I was like the only media person in there. They allowed media in the locker room back then.
Yeah, simpler times.
Yeah, yes, exactly. The good old days. But he actually, I was just sitting there, and everybody was actually, I think, at Tannehill's press conference. And he like was bawling and went over and basically apologized to Mariota. And, you know, basically like, you know, I guess, I don't know if he dropped a pass that day or whatever. But it was sort of like, and then I talked to him after that, and he's like, you know, I just feel like it's my fault. But like they knew that, he was done then. Yeah. They knew. But, yeah, I do think, Marquise, I agree. I think there were definitely some guys in that locker room that were like, how could you move on from this guy? Because they love the guy. And then you want to win in football, and you go out and this other guy plays better. You're like, okay. And also, like, Tannehill, I think Tannehill handled the whole thing really well. He's
a very likable guy.
Yeah, he's likable, and he stayed in his place when it was his place. And then I think – as the season went on and he performed, he became more of a vocal guy. And he is more naturally vocal than Mariota. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, they you're right. They would not hold on to bitterness about Tannehill if they got Brady. They'd be like, hey, Brady, let's go. But I think being totally honest, truth serum, if we're taking 53-man roster, I think it's 47-6, Tannehill over Brady.
Interesting. I mean, I think it would be closer than that. But it does bring up an interesting question. I mean, I think when you look at Tom Brady, obviously, I agree with you, Joe. He's 43 years old, or will be 43 years old when next season starts. He's not the same guy. But there is, especially with young guys like A.J. Brown, they just all they've seen growing up watching NFL football is Tom Brady just dominate and dominate and dominate and win and win and win. And that's, you know, whether that's conscious or not, that's tough to get out of your mind when you've seen that happen over and over again, no matter how old he is.
Well, A.J. Brown did also say, though, he's like, be playing with him or even, like, just, like, pick his brain.
Yeah, just talk to him.
Visit him at the old people home and, you know, and play some Parcheesi with him and get some, you know. I mean, so he did, like, I just want to talk to him in some way, you know.
Yeah, and that brings up another question. Like, do the Titans, if you're Tom Brady, like, we talked about the lack of weapons in New England, and that's we've talked about that enough. Everybody understands that. Do the Titans' weapons intrigue you enough if you're an NFL quarterback free agent where you're looking at that place and you're like, you know what? Yeah, that's where I want to be. Those guys, there are enough weapons in Tennessee to win a Super Bowl. Like, has A.J. Brown gotten to that point? I know he's very talented, but you're talking about 1 year of sample size where quarterbacks around the league would look at him and be like, you know what? I really want to throw that guy the ball. Like, that's going to be my receiver.
Yeah, probably some. And I think you know, a lot of people do. Look, a quarterback loves a Humphreys on 3rd and 3.
Yep.
And you know, we saw that's why New England tried to get him, and he signed with the Titans. But to me, it's if you know they're signing Derrick Henry, that's your biggest lure because you're like, man, I got a guy who he is going to set up some play action opportunities for me. He's going to freeze those linebackers and going to slow that pass rush down and, you know, and take some load off me. I don't have to throw it 40 times. There's no way Tom Brady, it's not appealing to Tom Brady to be like, you can win throwing 25 times a game. What do you think about that? Now, also, if I'm Tom Brady, I look at, like Floyd said in the last segment, you know, he's not mobile, and he has a better pass-protecting line right now in New England than this line was last year. And so you have to also take that into account.
Yes, and one of the things that stands out to me, like, I never would have thought I would have said this time last year, but at tight end, like Jonnu Smith, I think has become a pretty good option. Like I never thought I would say that, but I think he's a pretty good playmaker in terms of a starting NFL tight end. I mean, that catch he made in the playoffs was unbelievable. I mean, it was just a great play. His athleticism this year, I was blown away by it.
Yeah, well, and you know, a couple of those red zone TDs, like he also had one at Oakland, but look, man, get that guy the ball in his hands. No, he is. I think there's a lot more there with him. There's some things that, you know, I think he still has to get better at, but if he gets the ball in a little bit of room, he is scary. He's a weapon.
I mean, you saw him line him up in the backfield last year. Just get him the ball.
And it worked.
It did. Yes, it did. It worked very well. When we come back, Taylor Lewan had some interesting comments on the Rich Eisen show yesterday talking about the new CBA proposal. We'll get into that. First, the NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Central Barbecue and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Go to thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville mobile app now and sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 15th. Also, if you're lucky enough to have the perfect bracket, you could win $1 million. You're listening to Morning Drive. We'll be right back to start the second hour of the show live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.